Begin the current daf, Masechtas Chulin daf Yud. Begin 13 lines down with the top of the Yamud, where the Gemara continues in the related discussion from a teaching from the previous daf. Then we spoke about Rav Huna's halacha in regards to the topic of our parak of our Masechta regarding slaughtering. If a person doesn't know yet if it was slaughtered properly, then there's a chazaka, there's a presumptive state, a status, that it's forbidden, because a living animal is forbidden, until you know you kashered it, you made it viable by doing a proper slaughter. After the slaughtering, and then there's questionable status, then we say, okay, then it is the presumptive status that it's permitted because we know that it was a good slaughter. So related to that teaching, the Gemara says, Itma, we learned as follows. Hashechit besakin, if someone slaughters with a knife, the nimtzis peguma, and then later on they find that the knife is nicked. Now, it is known, however, that when the person was slaughtering, he checked beforehand the knife, and he saw that the knife is good. It's clear, it's straight, there's no nicks in it. Now, however, after the slaughtering, he didn't check the knife immediately. When they checked it later on in the day, they saw that the knife is nicked. So Amar Rav Huna says, "Afilah shiba ba'atzam es kalayim." Even if that person was, or they were using that knife to break bones the entire day, between when that slaughtering was done until they later checked that knife later on the day, well, you could definitely say, yeah, the reason why it's nicked is because they were breaking bones all day, still pesula. That initial slaughtering is going to be invalid. Why? Chashinon, we're concerned, Shema Ba'ur, maybe in the skin, the hide of the animal, Nifgama, the knife got nicked, and turns out that the initial slaughtering was never valid because it was never slaughtered the simanim, the two pipes in the neck of the animal. Rather, they were torn. Because when you have a nicked knife, when you go through, it tears it, it doesn't slaughter it. And the Pasuk says in the Varm Yud Beis, V'zavachti, you have to slaughter, not tear it. And therefore, we have to be concerned that maybe it was not a valid shechita, and therefore, it's going to be possible. But Rav Chisda Amar Kasher, he disagrees, says, no, that initial slaughtering is valid. Why? Shema Be'atzim Nifkama, because maybe it definitely makes sense that the bones that were used to crush the whole entire day with that same knife, maybe the knife got nicked because you were breaking bones with it all day. That's why it's nicked. But since you had checked the knife before you did the shechita, definitely it would make sense to say that it was clear and that it's very likely that it happened later on when you're breaking bones. And we don't have to think that maybe that actual slaughtering right after you checked the knife, when you were doing it, maybe got nicked on the hide of the animal and therefore it wasn't a valid shechita. Now, that is the Gemara, Bishlam Rav Huna. We understand the opinion of Rav Huna. It's Kishmaite. It's like his teaching that we had mentioned in the previous daf on the Medalev, that he had said that an animal is Bechesker Isroi Medes. It retains its prohibited status as a chazaka until you know for sure how that it was slaughtered appropriately. Now, here, we have a doubt in the Shechita itself. We don't know, was it slaughtered properly? We thought it was because we checked the knife before, but now that we checked it at a later time and during the day, we see it's nicked. Maybe the Shechita wasn't good. We don't know for sure. So therefore, he said, okay, until you know for sure, it retains its original chazaka, its presumptive status, which was prohibited. And the Rav Chisda, my time, what's the reason of Rav Chisda? That he says that the original shechit is kasher. So Malach, he would tell you as follows. Etzem vadei poigim. Breaking bones with a shechit knife is definitely going to make a nick, a dent in the knife, which you were doing that whole day after that shechit. Or safik poigim, safik loy poigim. But hide, the skin of an animal, maybe could nick, maybe not. Obviously, generally, shechita, it's not getting nicked because we're always doing it through the skin of the animal when we're going to do shechita. So, but maybe you could. So, have a safek uvadai. So, there's a doubt and there's a definite. There's a doubt, maybe it was from the skin. And there's a definite that for sure it would happen from the bones. So, when you have a safek and a vadai, ve'ein safek ma'itzim de vadai. A doubtful option doesn't remove from the definitive option. And therefore, we would go with the vada. You want to know how it got nicked? For sure with the bones. You want to know maybe also from the skin? That cannot remove from the position of that it was definitely the bones. And therefore, we're going to assume it was the bones. And therefore, that original shechita was valid. Now, Masav Rav Lesiul Rav Huna. Rav asked on Rav Chisda from a brisa that supports the opinion of Rav Huna. The brisa says, Taval va'olaf, a person whose tummy immersed himself in the mikveh in the ritual waters, and he comes out, v'nimtza lav davachetis, and he finds on himself something that would be a chatzitza, that would be interposition. Let's say something of that hairs are stuck together, or there's glue on him. There's something there that would get between the waters of the mikveh and his body. So, says the Braisam, Ava pishenes asik bo'isa min kaliyam kulay, meaning they didn't find this right when they came out of the mikveh. They found it later on in the day. Now, even if he was busy with that, let's say he was working the streets, and he has tar on his body, which would be an interposition. So, although he was busy with this the whole entire day, after he had immersed himself in the mikvah, says the Braisa, loy also loy tefila. Still, the immersion is not going to be valid. Ad, until, sheyem abari lish lohoya like kermachin, until he could say, I know for sure that it was not on me beforehand. If he can't say that, we don't know if it was a valid tefillah. Now, although we could say all day he was busy with this, it likely happened afterwards, but it could have been on there beforehand. The difference is the bris is not valid. Says Ravam, v'hacha devadei tavo. Here you have a situation where he most definitely immersed himself in the mikvah. Now, safek havi alei, safek le havi alei. Now, we're in doubt. Was this element, whatever it is, let's say tar, on him beforehand? Was it not? We don't know. And still, v'kasi safek amaitim devadei, still the option of doubt uproots the definitive position that he's tar, which is not like the way Rav Chisda had said. He said, no, we have a Safik option, the Vadi option is going to win. So here, why is the Braisa say that he's going to be Tamei? Most definitely, he has a Vadi option that he's tar because he immersed. We have Safik, was the Chatzitza on him or not? Because it could have been it happened afterwards, could be it was on there beforehand. So that seems not like Rav Chisda, that Safik is Maitim Nevadi, that is like Rav Huna, that we have to suspect the situation of a doubt. Says the Gemara, no, Shani Hasan, there it's different. Because the ikul amei mehemet tamei al chaskasi, there's another variable that you're not discussing. You could say there's another reason besides the doubt of the chatzitza element on him that should say that he's tamei. It's not just savik meitzim nevada. What is there? There's the chazaka, his presumptive state. You have a suffix now. Was it a good tefillah? Was it not? Because was the chatzitza on there or not? Now, since you don't know, you don't go with the vada that he had a tefillah, you go with the original chazaka, his presumptive state, up until the suffix, was that he was tami. That's what he was going to the mikvah for. That's why we say that he was tami, because of the chazaka that he was tami. And ve'im aloi tavel, and say that he never had an immersion. That's the suffix. Did he do a tefillah? Because we're not sure, so although that's a definitive act that he did, but since there's a suffix, we're going to say he actually retains his chazaka being tami. So it's not exactly like the previous case. But the Gemara asked, why not? Hachinami, then say the same thing in our case too. Hemid behema al cheskasa. Say the animal retains its original chazaka. Like we said, an animal when it's alive is forbidden. And ve'emu loy nishchata, and say that it was not slaughtered. How does Rav Chisda say that it's going to be valid? Because, there's a suffix. Was it that it happened with the ar, with the hide? Was it the vada that happened with the bones? I will go with the vada. And therefore, it definitely happened only afterwards. But why? Say the same answer you're saying for this brisa by the animal too. The chazaka should say that it's not kosher, that it's still aser. Says on that says the Gemara, no, harishchut alafanecha. What are you going to say that, say it wasn't slaughtered? You see the animal slaughtered. So you can't say it retains its chazaka of not being valid because it wasn't slaughtered. That was then. You can't say it has that chazaka like the animal. It is slaughtered now. Says the Gemara, well then, hachinami, say the same thing over here in this brisa. Haritabu lafanecha. You can't say he retains the original chazaka being tummy. That was before he went to the mikvah. Now look at him. He immersed. How could he retain that original chazaka? Says the Gemara, no. You're right, he immersed. But that immersion is under suspicion, is under doubt. Because there's a flaw that we said. We don't know, was it a valid tefillah or not? Did he have the chatzis on him or not? So you can't say, oh, look, he's immersed, and not to have the original chazaka. No, we're going to say he retains the original chazaka. We don't know if he did a good tefillah. Says the Gemara, then go back to this case too. Hachanami isilah dabei reyasa. In the case of shchita, there's also reyasa, there's also flow. We don't know. When you're saying harish shchuta lefanecha, what do you mean? We don't know if it's a shchuta. We don't know if it's valid. Maybe the knife got nicked in the skin of the animal before you even cut the pipes. Says the Gemara, no, there's a fundamental difference. Sakin isri, in the case of Rav Chisda disagreeing with Rav Huna, what's the flaw in? What's the suspicion in? In the knife. We found the suspicion in the knife. The knife is nicked. We don't find a flaw in the animal. Since there's no new evidence or questions in the animal itself, only in something else, meaning in the knife, so that's not the same thing like the case of the tefillah where the doubt is in the person himself. So therefore you cannot say that the suffix of the flaw of the knife should remove from the definitive shchita that there was in the animal, where that's why Rav Chisda said we're most definitely going to make it suspend on that it was broken with the, it got nicked in the bone that was chopped up the whole day, and that's why he says that it's going to be valid shchita, which is unlike the case of the braisa, where this suffix that's being brought up, the reyasa, is in the person himself, and that's why we say, okay, look, it's a reyasa, we're going to retain the original chazaka. But the animal, not going to say retain the original chazaka, because there's no reyasa in the animal, the reyasa is in the knife, and therefore, we're going to say, ein suffix maitzim nevadeh. But the Gemara continues asking Meisvei on Rav Chisda and like the answer we just gave for him from the following Braisa. The Braisa says, Shachet es aveshet. Someone slaughters, there's two pipes and birds and animals, in the human, there's the esophagus, which is the food pipe, and the trachea, which is the windpipe. So says the Braisa, if someone slaughtered the esophagus, we're talking about a bird, whereby a bird, it's actually enough to validate the shechita by cutting one of the pipes without cutting both the pipes. So he cut the esophagus, va'achkach nishmet to hagargeres, and afterwards, the trachea got pulled out, meaning it wasn't slaughtered, it got pulled out from where it's connected to the bird. Now, since again, as we said, by bird, it's enough to slaughter just one pipe, so we're not concerned now that the other one had what's called ikur, that it just got pulled out. Says the Braisik Sher, it's going to be valid. Now, says Rashi, this is that it says, specifically slaughtering of the veshet, and that the gargaris is what got pulled out. Says Rashi, same thing would apply if it was the reverse too. It's just that, as the Gemara says later on, Chav Chesem and Alf, that tends to happen, that the gargaris, or the trachea, by the bird gets pulled out. So that's why it's saying that's the slaughter one, and that's one that's getting pulled out. But again, if you slaughtered one first and then the second one got pulled out, it's going to be valid. Now, let's say the reverse. Let's say nishmet hagargeres. Let's say first the trachea got pulled out. So therefore, that makes it a trefa. It's one of the signs of a fatal flaw in the animal because no slaughtering had happened yet. And then v'achkach shachadas haveshet, only afterwards, subsequently, was the esophagus slaughtered, cut. And so it's going to be invalid because it was already a trefa. Third case, let's say shachadas avesha, let's say they slaughtered the vesha, the esophagus, v'nimtzis hagagerish mut, and then they find, after they do the shechita, they see that although they didn't do the slaughtering on the gagerish, they find that it's pulled out. Now, v'eni yedei doesn't know, im kaidim shechita nishmata, did it fall out, was it pulled out before the slaughtering was done, and therefore it's a treva, or im lacha shechita nishmata, or did it happen after the slaughtering, and therefore, like we said, that's kasher. So says the Braisa, Zehoye Maisa v'amr, there was such an incident, and they said, Kol Safik b'shechita pasul, whenever there's a doubt regarding the slaughtering, it's going to be invalid. Says the Gemara, Kol Safik b'shechita lasu yimai. What does the Braisa mean to say when it says, any doubt regarding slaughtering, we're going to say it's pasul? Lav lasu yikai gavna, isn't it including even the case that Rav Huna and Rav Chisa are disagreeing about regarding when there's a doubt that comes up in the knife itself? Where, obviously, we look at the knife, we see it's nicked. We don't know. Was it before and was it afterwards? And that's a suffix in the Shechita, and you see that the Braisa is saying that's going to be possible, which is not like Rav Chisda, who he said in that type of case it's going to be kosher. So it's like, no, that's not what it's including. Lasu yis suffix shaha suffix dar. It's coming to include a case of like when there's a doubt that the one who slaughtered, he doesn't know. Did he delay? Did he push the knife instead of going back and forth? That suffix b'shechita is being included in these halachas where you don't know if he did a good job. If he found the gargaris just pulled out, you don't know was it before, was it after. Those are the cases where we said it's going to be possible. But if you find it in the knife, then it's going to be kosher. That is the gemara gittintam at base. Well, the maishna. What's the difference? Both of them are sveikis. Says the Gemara, like we said before. Hasam over there by the case of maybe he's not sure. Did he delay? Did he press? Is he a lead the that's a flaw in the animal. In the slaughtering of the animal, you don't know how you did it. Oh, that's like we said before. In the thing itself, then we can't say, oh, ha-rei shachar lefanecha. Then we say it retains the original chazaka that it's aser. Like Rav Huna's halacha of the previous daf. That's where Rav Chisda would agree that then it would be aser. Hacha sakinisri, but the case that he disagrees with Rav Huna is that the flaw is in the knife. Behema lo yisroi, there's no flaw in the animal. And that we said, then there ain't something mitzim devade, and the vade is that it was for sure slaughtered, and therefore that's where Rav Chisda said it's going to be kasher. That concludes the Gemara. The hilchasa kavaseid Rav Huna, the halacha is like Rav Huna, that we are concerned that maybe, since we didn't check the knife right after, we only checked it later on, we find that it's nicked, that maybe it did get nicked in the skin of the animal when he was starting to slaughter, and therefore the shechita is going to be pasul. Says the Gemara, but when do we say like Rav Huna? Is kishli shiba ba'etzim? If the whole entire day he wasn't breaking bones with that knife. So if he wasn't breaking bones with that knife, how'd it get nicked? It could be it got nicked with the hide itself. Therefore, that shechita is going to be possible. And the hilchasa kavaseid Rav Chisda, halacha is like Rav Chisda, that we're not concerned that it got nicked on the hide of the animal and that the original shechita is going to be kosher. Kishli shiba ba'etzim, when you're breaking bones all day, breaking bones all day, okay, it makes sense. Like we said, that's a vada would break and nick the knife. The hide, maybe, maybe not. So therefore, that's when the original shechita would be kasher. Now, ask the Gemara, if that's the way we're saying it, machlal de Rav Chisda, the inference is that Rav Chisda, who disagrees with Rav Huna, is avagav de leishiba ba'etzim. It's that you're saying that he's saying it's going to be kasher, even if he wasn't breaking bones all day, after the slaughtering, you're saying he would still say that original shechita is going to be kasher. Meaning, from the fact that the Gemara had to say, halachas like Rav Huna, when they weren't breaking bones all day, the inference is, but Rav Chisda disagrees and says, even then it's going to be kasher. But El B'mai Ifkim, and then says the Gemara, but then how did, okay, the halacha is not like Rav Chisda in that case. But he says, even there would be kasher. but how to become nicked if the only thing you did with it was a shechita and you weren't breaking bones with it all day. Says the Gemara, Eimo, because you could say, and this is how Rav Chisda held, Be'etzim de'mafrakas ifkim. Maybe after the slaughtering, it got nicked by the neck bone, which is when you slaughter the animal, at the end, you hit the neck bone, which is called the mafrakas. There, that could have nicked it. And that's after the shechita. And therefore, Rav Chisda said that we're going to say that it's kasher. Now, but as Rashi points out, Allah has not like Rav Chisda to suspend it in a lenient way, because Rashi says, touching the neck bone is not something that should make a nick in the knife any more than the skin itself. But like we said, Allah is like Rav Chisda when you bring bones all day, because that definitely should nick it. But here, to say the neck bone, they're both suffic, and therefore then the halacha we're saying is going to be like Rav Huna, but if they're breaking bones all day, then the halacha is like Rav Chisda that will say, okay, it's most definitely the bones, and that means the original shechita was kasha. Now, says the Gemara, Haba Uvde, there was an incident, V'tarf Rav Yosef atleisa chevasar, Rav Yosef made and said that the animals were considered trefa and not properly slaughtered, up until 13 animals, meaning because he had slaughtered 13 animals, which they didn't check between all those slaughterings, and after all the slaughterings were done, they looked at the knife and they saw that it was nicked. And they saw it was nicked. Okay, that means to say that these shechitas were not valid, and therefore they said that they're all trefa. Now, explain to the Gemara, come on, who does Rav Yosef hold like? Sounds like Rav Huna, v'filibe kamaisa. He's going like Rav Huna, and therefore even the first animal would be considered trefa, because we're concerned that it, even before you cut the first animal, it got nicked. Now, though we didn't check after the first one, but when we check later on, we find that it's nicked. We say, okay, maybe it was the first hide that did it. That's what the Gemara is asking. Is it that because he's like Rav Huna and therefore even the first one? Says the Gemara, no. We could say that Rav Chisda, Rav Yosef held like Rav Chisda. And the reason why we're concluding that this the animals that got slaughtered were treif is because maybe the neck bone of the first animal made a treif, which made it problematic for all the remaining 12 animals, meaning afterwards, let's say there were 14 animals and the remaining 13 became treif. And therefore, Ulabar Mekamaisa, and therefore it's besides the first one. So it's, yeah, all those animals, those 13 animals, he said trefa, but we're not sure what, did he slaughter 13, and that was including the first one, did he slaughter 14, and it was just remaining 13 ones, that would depend if he was holding like Rav Huna or like Rav Chisda. Or Vibay Seymour, and says, if you want, you could say actually, Lo'elim Rav Huna. It has to be that he holds like Rav Huna. Because the Ik Rav Chisda, if it was like Rav Chisda, Mechti, let's see. Mitli Talinim. We suspend our judgment, meaning, most definitely, we're saying that if you're touching the neck bone of the animal, we said that there's no reason to say, logically, that it should be more reasonable that that's what's making the nick in the knife, more than the skin of the animal when you're initially doing the shechita. Because, like we said, you're not really banging away at the neck bone. And even so, Rav Chisda held, that's his opinion as we explained, that, okay, we'll be toilo, what's called, we'll suspend. We'll say that maybe that's what happened to make a lenient interpretation. So therefore, says the Gemara, when we're slaughtering all these many animals, 13 or 14 animals, mimai de be'etzim de mefrekes de kamaise ifkim, who's to tell us that when we're making, what's called being toilet, toilet is that whatever loophole we can find, maybe that's what it was, and we'll be lenient. Who said it was the neck bone of the first animal that nicked it? Dilma be'etzim de mefrekes de basrais ifkim, maybe it was the neck bone of the last animal that nicked it, and actually, based on that logic, Rav Chisda's opinion would tell us that it actually got nicked on the last neck bone. Actually, he would say that all the animals would be kasher. So therefore, this third approach of the Gemara says, no, most definitely he has to be like Rav Huna. Because initially we had said he's like Rav Chisda and the neck bone did it. Like we said, he holds that could be the neck bone, not the initial thing. So yeah, the first animal would be kasher, but the remaining animals would be pasul. And that the Gemara is saying, no, according to Rav Chisda, actually all the animals then should be kasher. Because maybe it was the neck bone of the last animal that did it, and therefore it must be that Rav Yosef was going like Rav Huna, who was saying that all these animals were trefa, because we don't know. We find afterwards without having checked it, and therefore we have to say that maybe it was before the initial shechit was even done, that it became nicked on the hide of the animal. Similar discussion, the Gemara says, Amalei Rav Acha Beri de Rav Rav Ashi. Says, Rav Kahana, Matzrach Bidikusa Ben Kochada Bechada. When they were slaughtering many animals, like in the Shlachtas, in the slaughterhouse, he required to check the knife between every animal that was being slaughtered. Says the Gemara, come on, who is that like? Is it Kerav Huna? Vela Mifsal Kamaisa? And because that would even invalidate the first animal that was slaughtered? In other words, this then required the checking of the knife right after the first one was slaughtered. Is because if you would find it nicked, that would make that first animal trefa like Rav Huna? Says the Gemara, no, could be that he holds like Rav Chisda, who's not concerned that maybe it happened when you're doing the original initial shechita on the hide of the animal. And the reason why he required for the knife to be checked was if you find it nicked, that you should fix it ulachshur basraisa, so that it should validate the remaining shechitas. And that the last one should be kosher together with the first one, because if you're not going to check it, and you're going to slaughter the remaining animals, and you find later on that it was pugm, that it was nicked, then you're concerned that it happened at the first one's neck bone. So the first one's going to be kosher, because it happened only afterwards, but the remaining ones would be forbidden. Because as Rashi points out, this version of the Gemara holds not like we had said previously in the third approach for Rav Chisda, who says, wait a second, if it's Rav Chisda, then all of them should be kosher, because you're being toil lahakel. Say it was the last one's neck bone, this Gemara holds no, like that original position in Rav Chisda, that the first one would be kasha, but the remaining ones would be pasul. And therefore saying that maybe he was saying that you have to check it is not because of the first animal, but just because of the remaining animals. Now, as Rashi points out, although the Gemara gives that as an approach, it's just what's called a dicha be'alma. It's just saying that technically, I could say that Rav Kahana would hold like Rav Chisda. But in truth, says Rashi, Rav Kahana most definitely holds like Rav Huna, where even the first one would be possible, because that's like the Gemara said before, that the halach is like Rav Huna, and if someone slaughters one animal, he has to check the knife right after it's slaughtered, and if he checks many without checking in between, and then he finds that it's pogum, even the first one's going to be awesome. But the Gemara says, ihachi, but if that's the case, like the Gemara is saying right now, that the reason why you have to check the knife between every slaughterings is because you're saying it's like Rav Chisda, that's not for the first one, but it's because of the remaining shechitas you still have coming on. So then that's the Gemara, well then, Tiboy Nami B'dikas Chacham. And even like Rav Huna, so it's what was, so we would understand you wouldn't have to have it to a sage. But if you're saying that it's like Rav Chisda, it's not regarding the first one. First one, nah, it definitely didn't happen before. And if anything happened by the neck bone, we're saying, but it's for the coming ones that we would say would be possible. But then this should be considered a pre-inspection. Now, in pre-inspection, the halacha is that you have to show the knife to the sage. As the Gemara learns later on, the Yudzayin Mabez from B'Shechatetem B'Zeva Achaltem, that you have to show it to the sage, and he has to check the knife. Now, from the fact that we know that when we're saying you have to check in between every slaughtering, we didn't have to say you have to show it to the sage, obviously, we're not qualifying this as a pre-slaughtering inspection, and therefore, how could you say it's like Rav Chisda? Because according to Rav Chisda, it's a pre-slaughtering inspection. It must be like Rav Huna, who's a post-slaughtering inspection. Because if it was a pre, then it wouldn't be enough just for the slaughterer to check it. He would have to show it to the sage of the city. Says the Gemara, no, Eidech HaNemen B'Yisurin. It's not difficult on this approach, just like Rav Chisda. Even if it's a pre-inspection of the remaining animals, the halacha is that an individual, what's called a singular witness, is believed regarding prohibitory law. Meaning, every single individual, the Torah trusts him. Like the Pasuk says in Devarim, "Bezavachtem ibkarcha mitzancha." You should slaughter from your flock and from your cattle. Like the Pasuk says, "Bukar al v'shachad es ben abakar." And the halacha is, whoever slaughters his carbon, it could even be a non-kohen, and then they can go ahead and eat from that later on, and they didn't require that there should be witnesses to testify that it did a proper slaughtering. Because the Torah only requires witnesses, two witnesses, either for to punish someone monetarily, or for court death, or for the laws of arise of immorality, as the Gemara learns out in Gittin Tzadim and Aleph, things that are related to Inyani Ishas of Arayis, we learn that from Gzeir Shabbat, David David for Mammon. But regarding prohibitory law, an individual is believed, and therefore he could check the knife himself, he doesn't have to show it to a sage. That is the Gemara, but that's the case, Mikarin Amiloi. Then every initial, any time a person's coming to slaughter an animal, he shouldn't have to show it to a sage, because Eidech and then Bisurin. Says the Gemara, no, Ha'amar Rabbi Yechon, he says, you're right. They didn't say that you have to show a knife to a sage because we don't trust you. No. Here in this situation where you already slaughtered one animal, so it's not the pre-inspection. Yes, it's pre-inspection for the remaining ones, but we really trust you. This, that when you're going to come, before you start anything, that you have to show it to a sage, that was only said, that was only said for the honor of the sage of the city, but really, we really trust you, and therefore here we already slaughtered one, although, yeah, you're checking for the coming ones, but we trust you for the coming ones, because Eidech HaNem B'Yisurin, this that you have to show it before you start anything, that's only for the honor of the sage, and therefore it's not difficult. Now, so therefore the Gemara resolved and said that, yeah, it could be that this halacha of Rav Kahana of checking the future ones, chucking the knife between each slaughtering would not be like Rav Huna of the previous one, but it would even be just for the coming ones, and still you wouldn't have to show it to the sage. Now the Gemara goes back to a concept we mentioned before. Menoha milsa da'am rabbanon. Ask the Gemara, from where do we know this thing that the rabbis say? Uki milsa achazake, that we establish something based on its chazaka, which many times we find in Shas, that we rely on the chazaka and the presumptive previous state, status, whether to say something is forbidden or permitted. Like we had mentioned before, that we say, oh, the chazaka tells us that it was forbidden, that it was tamei, that it was that the animal was not kosher. That, where do we know this concept from, that we rely on the chazaka? So Amr Shmuel bar Nachmeni, Amr Birnis, and he says from the following source. Amakra, the Pasuk says a Meyikra regarding a bayis, a house that has a neged tzaras on it. So the way it's confirmed as a neged has to be through the kohen. So the halacha is, the kohen comes in, he checks it out, he sees it has the requisite measurement and all the different signs of it being a neged tzaras. So it says, V'yatsa ha-kohen min abayis al pesach abayis. So the kohen leaves the house, goes to the entryway of the house. Meaning, because he has to leave the entirety of the house. And then, v'hiskris abayis shivas yamim, he closes off the house for 7 days. Meaning then he closes the door, and then he establishes it that it's a neged tzaras. Now, even though you could technically say the dilma did nafik v'asa, but maybe when he was leaving and going out of the door, maybe batzer le shiura, we don't know. Maybe before he even left and closed the door, as he was leaving, maybe the gris, which is the size of the, like a bean, of the size of how much this leprosy on the house should be, maybe it got smaller as he was walking out the door before he even left. So it comes out that it wasn't a nega with the requisite shear when he closed the door. So his hesker, which is the seclusion of the house for 7 days, is not qualified as a hesker because it was like there was nothing there. How do you know that it was a valid hesker? Maybe it got smaller before he even closed the door. Elalav, rather, says the Gemara, isn't it because Mishum Darmina Uki Achazake? Because the Chazake is. Until we know things change, we assume it stayed the same. And since we saw the shear, even though in those few seconds as he's walking out, maybe it closed, it maybe got smaller, we rely on the chazaka, and that's where we see this halacha, that we rely on the chazaka. However, on this source, Maskvila Rav Acha bar Yaakov, he says, what do you mean? Where do you see from here the concept of chazaka? V'dilma, but maybe k'din sheyatza derech harav. Maybe it's that he was walking out backwards. The kachazi lekinafek. He sees it as he's walking out. So as he's closing the door, he sees it's still the size, and then he closes the door. So maybe when there's no reliance over here on chazaka, and maybe there's no proof. He says, there's two responses to your question. Chada, first of all, the yitziyah derech achayev leishma yitziyah. Leaving backwards, it's not considered leaving. The way a person walks is prominent in that it has to be in a forward way. If you're telling me is that he's walking out backwards, that would have been considered the yatzah hakayin, and therefore that wouldn't qualify. Obviously, if he's leaving forward, not walking backwards, and therefore, again, you would have to rely on the chazaka. Moreover, second point says Abaya, that if the nega would be achayri hadelas behind the door, so then how exactly in that situation, Michael, remember, what are you going to say? How when he's leaving is he going to be able to see it? It's behind the door, so even if he's walking out backwards, so maybe something on the wall at an angle he could see, but he wouldn't be able to see what's behind the door. He would have to obviously miss it a few seconds before he's closing the door, and maybe he'd already lost the gris. So obviously we rely on the chazaka, says Abaye. And says Abaye, if you're going to say, no, the pasab kavsa, that, no, that you'll maintain your question, that he's walking out backwards and he could see even to the last second because he makes a hole, a window in the door before he closes it, and therefore he could see the whole time as he's closing the door. But that asked Abaye, what's not, but the Mishnah says, negayim, bayis afal, a dark house, where you would have to open up windows to see the nega because it's so dark you can't see the nega. Says the Mishnah, you don't open up windows, lirisus nigai, to see the nega, and actually you totally exempt that house from the laws of tzaras. As the pasuk says in Mikra Dal, the kohen says, the person says, kenega nearly babayis, like a nega is seen to me in my house. What does it mean, li? Li means to me, just myself, without any extra light. Where if, let's say, the nega is in a place that's very dark, and you would have to light a candle, that's not considered a nega. So says Abaya, that wouldn't be even an option to open up a window, because you see, don't open up a window to make something into a nega tzaras. So if it says Abaya, obviously, it's like, yes, it must be reliant on the chazaka. However, Amalei Rava asked on the response of Abaya. He says, on both points, he says, first of all, the ka'amrit yitzir derech achayv lishma yitzir. First of all, this said you wanted to refute his question by saying leaving backwards is not considered leaving. Says Rava, ka'en gadol b'yom kippurim. But the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippurim, when he's leaving the Kodesh HaKadosh and the Holiest of Holies, after he takes out the spoon and the shovel that had the Keteris and the coals, Yechiyahu will disprove what you're saying. Because the Chsiv BeYitziah, there it says the terminology of going out. It says V'yatzah V'asai Lasa, he goes out and he does his Karban Ayla over there in Parshat Achrei Mais. Utnan, we learn in the Mishnah Masechtas Yuma, that yatsa uvali derech kenis asay, that he leaves the Kodesh HaKadoshim the same way that he came in. Meaning, just like he came in, he was facing towards the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Just like he goes in, that's how he leaves, where he walks backwards with his face towards the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And you see, it's called Yitzia. That's on point one. Then with the comment, this that you said in the second point, we said, okay, what do you do if it's behind the door? And you said, to make a hole in the window, in the door as a window, wouldn't be valid. And that says, Rabbi, no, on that point, I also disagree. This that you said that by yourself a dark house in person like haloinus lirus nigoy, that we don't open up any windows to see the nega to make it as a halach of a nega, says Rava hani mili hechaduli ischazik. That's only if it was never established yet. Meaning, as long as the kohen didn't see the nega with his own vision, because it was very dark over there and you couldn't recognize a nega, that's where we say, okay, we don't open up windows to make it into that we could see the nega. That because that wouldn't qualify for kenega nearly babayis. But says Rav al Hecha de Ischazig, but where it was already established, where we already saw the Nega. He goes into the house, very clear house. He sees the Nega is behind the door, so he already recognizes that it's a Nega, and he only needs the window just to be able to retain the status that it's still a Nega. Then Ischazig, then it's already established, and says Rav, then maybe there you would be able to open up a window. And therefore, according to Rav, the question of Rav Acha bar Yaakov comes back and says that seemingly you don't have a source from here that there's a chazakah, because could be the guy was walking backwards and there was a window open, even if it's behind the door, and he was able to see it all the way till he closed it, and therefore it's not reliant on a chazakah. However, says the Gemara, Tanya delik Rav Acha bar Yaakov. We have a braisa that says Nalik Rav Acha bar Yaakov, who he wanted to say and ask on this source, and he wanted to say no. Not reliant on any chazakas. He wanted to say it's someone where the person's walking out backwards, where he could see it up until that it's closed. The thing is, the Brisa says not like him, because as we're going to see, the Brisa says that if the Kohen goes to his house and closes it, that it's considered as a hezger b'di'evid. Now, if he's closing it from his house, most definitely he's not able to see into the house at that same time, and still it's going to be considered as a hezger, as a nega. Which obviously, because you have to rely on the chazakah, that it was still the way it is, and that nothing changed, but that is reliant on the halacha of chazakah. As the Braisa says, the Pasuk says, V'yatza koyim in abayis. Koyim, if he wants to go ahead and do this procedure of being mazgurit, of sequestering it for 7 days, and then confirming that it's a nega, so it says that the koyim goes out from the house. Says the Braisa, he says, Yochel, you would think that he has permission, that yelich l'tech beisei, that he could even go home, the koyim, and then come back, and then v'yaska, and then close the door, and make it as a bais that has hezger that's sequestered for 7 days. Tam Alema says the bais, no, that's what the pasuk teaches, that when he leaves the house, he goes el pesach abayis, he goes to the entry of that house, he can't go home. Now, e pesach abayis, had it said that he comes to the entryway of the house, yochel yamatachas amashkev, you would think that he could stand beneath the lintel, which is the upper part of the doorway, v'yaska, and close it standing even there. Because, I mean, he's not go home, but you would think he could even stay right there by the doorway. It says, no, he should leave from the house, which teaches you, until he leaves the entire house. So, okay, it's at house though. I mean, he can't be too far, neither could he be too close. So what it is, he has to stand right at the side of the lintel, meaning nothing underneath the house itself, and then the mask can do the hesker over there. Now, says the Braisa, how do you know that if, let's say, he did go home, and he closed it from his home, which is, let's say, he had a long rope, or if let's say his house was very close and he was able to reach from his home, or if he was standing in the house, meaning beneath the mashke, beneath the lintel, and he closed it from there, how do you know that after the fact, Shazgeri Muske, that it would be a valid hezger of closing up the house? Tamalim of Hizkir's Abayas says that he closed up the house, which is Mekamakam in any situation. But one thing you see is that after the fact, it is valid even if he does it from his house, where he's obviously not seeing inside. So you see, says the Gemara ultimately, that this halacha is reliant on chazakah, and therefore that's the source for this halacha, that we rely on chazakas of the presumptive status of something up until we know that it had changed. But says the Gemara of Rav Acha bar Yaakov, he would tell you that no, this is not a refutation of his opinion, because you could explain the case that the Braisa is told me that if the Kohen is being masquerad from his home, as a contained type of Yud Aleph and Aleph, you're going to Kaimi Dara de Gavri, where, for example, if there's a row of people, where the first one is standing right by the doorway, and he sees what's going on inside, and he tells the person next to him, and the person next to him, and the person next to him, all the way up until the Kohen who's in his house, where there's nothing lacking in the row, And they're saying that it is like it was up until now. And therefore, he could say, oh, we're being maskered, we're closing it up. But not that we're relying on chazaka, because we're not assuming anything that it's what it was up until now. We know what it is now. And therefore, it's not a refutation of Rav Acha B'Yakov from the Brisa, and therefore, according to him, there still wouldn't be a raya from this halacha of the halacha of chazaka that we rely on something status that we know was up until now, and that we don't know anything changed. That's the question, do we learn it from here or not?